As the shaky six-month ceasefire came to a formal end last week, the U.S. signaled it would not be restraining its ally, Israel.
Whatever the mechanism is that is acceptable to the Israeli government to not see violence used against its citizens, then, of course, we're not going to stand in the way of that.
Hamas's takeover of the Gaza Strip last year followed a political miscalculation by the administration of U.S. President George Bush. It presumed that Fatah, led by Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, would win the 2006 parliamentary elections, which Washington had encouraged. But with Hamas emerging the victor, the Bush administration joined Israel in refusing to recognize the vote and attempting to isolate the group as it assumed full control of Gaza.
Some seem to believe that we should negotiate with the terrorists and radicals as if some ingenious argument will persuade them they have been wrong all along. We've heard this foolish delusion before.
And when Bush hosted the Annapolis conference a year ago to resuscitate talks on a final settlement, Hamas was left out. In his winning campaign for the presidency, Barack Obama echoed Bush in ruling out any accommodation with Hamas.
We must isolate Hamas unless and until they renounce terrorism, recognize Israel's right to exist, and abide by past agreements. There is no room at the negotiating table for terrorist organizations.
And as a senator, incoming Secretary of State Hillary Clinton urged Bush to increase the pressure on Hamas. Although the U.S. has been the single largest donor of humanitarian aid to Gaza, Washington has not joined the critics who accuse Israel of inflicting collective punishment on its besieged population. Meanwhile, the U.S. military aid commitment to Israel continues unabated. The Congress has approved an average $3 billion a year in arms and military financing to Israel over the next 10 years. Tom Ackerman, Al Jazeera, Washington.